Hearing is conditional use number 1896, Timothy S. Miller.
This is an application to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a mulch storage, processing, and sales, and also a boat and RV storage site to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, a parcel containing 1.729 acres, more or less, lying east of Road 365, also known as Pepper's Corner Road, 1,327 feet south of Road 368, also known as Beaver Dam Road. Bear with me a second here. For the benefit of the commission, I'm passing down copies of the survey site plan for this application. On this application, the applicant did provide a copy of a survey site plan for the proposed mulch storage processing sales area, and also the boat and RV storage area. Deldot provided comments on April 18th of 2011 that was in the form of a support facilities report, which references that a traffic impact study was not required, that the current level of service A of Pepper's Corner Road will not change as a result of this application. On May 23rd of 2011, the Sussex Conservation District provided comments in the form of a memorandum, which references that there are three soil types on the site, that the applicant will be required to follow recommended erosion and sediment control practices during construction and to maintain vegetation, that there are no storm flood hazard areas or tax ditches affected, that it is not likely that the proposed project will necessitate any off-site drainage improvements, and that it is possible that the proposed project will necessitate some on-site drainage improvements. On May 24th of 2011, the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division provided us comments in the form of a memorandum, which references that the site is located in the Beaver Dam planning area. An on-site septic system is proposed. Project is not capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district. Conformity to the South Coastal Planning Study 2005 update will be required. The proposed project is not in an area where the county has a schedule to provide sewer service at this time, and that when the county does provide sewer service, it will be required that the on-site septic system be abandoned and a connection be made to the central sewer system. And lastly, that a concept plan is not required at this time, since the sewer is not available. And gentlemen, that's all I have, unless you have questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. If I were a betting man, I'd bet you're Mr. Miller.
Yes, sir.
All right, sir, step right up here, and if you would introduce yourself, because our tape machine doesn't recognize your face.
All right, Timothy S. Miller. I live at 34478 Mad Dog Run. It's just off Pepper's Corner Road in Frankfort, Delaware. Do you mind if I pass out some photos of the current situation?
Sure, go right ahead.
That should give you a little better idea of kind of what the current situation is with the existing tree lines on either side of the proposed location. But everything is pretty much, in my opinion, straightforward as it's presented on the plan. I'd like to wholesale mulch onto the site and then retail it, and also offer a boat storage service, boat storage and RV storage service.
Timothy, it might be for your benefit if you explain to the commission what else is on the site for the record.
Oh, excuse me. Well, there's a existing land surveying office that fronts on Pepper's Corner Road, and that to the right in that image, I think you can see a piece of that garage that's shown on the site plan. That's right now our surveying office. We've got 4 or 5 employees. We operate 7 to 5 Monday through Friday. And my residence is the home in the back, which I thought might be a selling point for people potentially storing their boat there, kind of a overlooking watch out type setting, but that's a separate parcel. So that is my personal residence there in the back of the property.
All right, sir.
Might be helpful too, just before you conclude, to describe what the surrounding properties are and how they're used.
Can I pass out a couple more images?
Sure.
Sure.
This directly to the north of my property is a vacant, abandoned area that they're using for some type of dumping now. I'm not sure what's going on over there. And then to the north of that property is another kind of rundown area that has boats that have been abandoned on it. And then to the south of the property is a pretty dense woodland.
Can I ask a question, Mr. Chairman?
Sure.
Tim, you referenced that your dwelling is...
It's at the...
To the rear? Is that on lot number two?
To the east, to the rear of where the boat storage is proposed.
Or to the rear on lot number one?
Yeah.
On
the paper, it's at the top of the... Excuse me, on the plan, it's at the top of the plan.
I just wanted to clarify where it was.
So on the plan, it's up above?
That's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Go ahead.
Okay, are you okay? Good. Well, I'll tell you what, Mr. Miller, why don't we see if anybody on the commission has any questions for you? Okay. And let's see, we're going to start with Mr. Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Mr. Miller. And yes, I'm going to have to ask you some questions because I have to say I'm a little more confused after seeing the photographs than I was before.
Okay.
Well, and now visiting the site where the county placed the yellow advertising sign. Is that on this site, or is that?
That is, it's kind of placed incorrectly. It's placed at my driveway. My driveway leads back to my house, which it's a pie-shaped piece that was subdivided into three separate parcels. So my parcel has 150 foot of frontage at that driveway, then narrows down and then goes back to the tip of the pie.
So when I went past that sign heading towards where Beaver Dam Road would junction into Pepperidge Corner Road, and I pulled into the residence with the asphalt driveway to make my turnaround, which had the large surveying sign, that is the site.
That would be the entrance to the mulch and the boat storage area.
So what you're saying is that the public notice sign really is not applicable. Where it was placed is not applicable to what's on this.
It's clearly shown on that plan where the entrance is in proximity to the surveying office, which are labeled. But to answer your question, yes, the sign was placed incorrectly.
Thank you. Mr. Robertson, if you want to make a note of that. All right, so is this still Ms. Ziff's poultry operation?
Poultry operation.
There.
And
that's your residence there, right?
That's correct.
And the office. Okay.
That's correct.
All right, sir. Thank you. And the on the site plan, the notes to the right hand side, these are what you were proposing.
Yeah, I mean, I assume that some changes or addition, I guess, would have to be made, but I tried to get a starting point from
these. Were sort of what you would
just what I
what you would proffer if.
That's correct. That's
yeah.
Correct.
What's all right, sir? Thank you. On the way this was advertised, what I'm reading is mulch storage, processing, and sales, and boat and RV storage. The processing and sales relate to the mulch storage?
Yeah. Down the road, if possible, I'd like to get a chip processor that I could process wood chips and turn them into mulch if I can make enough money from the wholesaling of the mulch on site. It's a kind of a drum instrument. It's about, I guess, 35 feet long by about 11 feet wide, 8 feet high. You use a skid steer to dump wood chips into it, and at the same time it dyes the mulch and pushes them out for sale.
So that would be the processing
portion.
The reference to sales, SALES, does not have anything to do with the boat and RV.
No,
the
no boat repair and RV or sales of boats at all.
That would just be storage of boats,
storage,
and RVs.
That's it, yes.
And perhaps personal watercraft, would they be on?
Yes, that's
boats?
Correct. I would consider them in the category of boats, I guess. So, yeah, personal watercraft would be included.
And the total acreage of the site is one and three-quarters acres, roughly?
Yes, I put the total, well, it's two, the sites stretch on two separate parcels as far as the tax IDs go. And then they're just portions of each tax parcel.
Mm-hmm. And the, like, lot number two, District 13415, parcel 144.
Yeah.
That probably was the property where the advertising sign was.
It was close, but my driveway is to the south of that slightly, and that's where the sign was, where my driveway is. It's a gravel entrance driveway.
I got you. All right, so to establish what it is that you would hope to be processing would be the mulch. Now, would you be accepting any yard waste?
No, just wood chips.
Would you be accepting wood chips?
Yes, wood chips.
And so if I had wood chips and I brought them to you, mm-hmm. would I get payment for them, or would I give them to you free?
Ideally, I would take them for free. If it came to a point where I had to offer some payment, then I would plan on doing that.
Does that offer to set up accounts receivable, does that make you have to get further permits from DENREC?
From DENREC? I'm not aware of any at this point, but I can find that out.
Okay. I'm asking that question because I want to kind of guard the commission against the pondering giving some approvals and things. We're noticing in light of the new yard waste regulations of seeing what may or may not be required at a different level.
Well, when you take your yard waste and put it to a chipper, it turns it into wood chips.
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, but they would have already been turned into wood chips, and then I would take them, put them into the processor, dye it, mm-hmm. and sell it.
How much equipment would you anticipate having on the site?
Well, I think that a skid steer with a front-end loader to move the wood chips into the, or to load the back of a pickup truck from the existing mulch. So the skid steer, the processor would be really the only two equipment items that I can foresee.
Mm-hmm. A question that's come up in some of these other facilities applications in front of the commission is there a fire danger, and do you have a fire suppression system in
there? Is water on site on this side of the garage that's shown in one of those images? There's a spigot of water access. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of any fire dangers at this point.
Okay. There's nothing like a spontaneous combustion from the product you would be storing?
Yeah. Not that I know of.
Okay. Has the fire department looked at this to give you any hints as to what they would need if they had to get a vehicle on the site, what they would require for a turnaround, what they would like to see as far as perhaps an asphalt driveway? Or
they have not looked at it.
They have not. All right, sir. Mr. Lank, would DelDOT, would there be need for an entrance of permit?
Any time you expand the use presently being the land surveying office, it would be required to DelDOT reevaluate the entrance. You may raise the question about DENREC. He also would have to contact Department of Agriculture, DENREC, and the Fire Marshal's office, and if he gets approval before he could obtain final approval because of their regulations.
Right. That was sort of where I was going with that line of questioning.
I mean, we've been through this a couple times in the last couple years. We have Lujan Organic, and we also have the Lawson mulch facility at Harvison that's just been in the last 6 to 8 months. So mm-hmm. we've had a couple of these late recently. So our other agencies involved.
Mm-hmm.
And I can talk to Mr. Miller tomorrow or whatever and let him know where to go.
Okay. That would be good. One of the things, have you made any overtures to any of your neighbors? Have you talked to them about what you were going to be doing? Did they have any questions about where you would store it, what they would be seeing or not seeing? Or
No one approached me, and I figured with the current situation that it would not be, you know, doing anything that would, you know, add to that with the buffer lines of the trees. The chicken houses across the street are the typical processing of the chickens, and, you know, they have porta potties on, whatever they do when they move chickens in and out from three chicken houses. Mm-hmm. And directly across the street's a wooded area. There's nothing there. And I'm on good terms with the other neighbors across the street, and they didn't ask any questions. I didn't approach them.
Initiate anything.
No,
that way.
No.
Insofar as the boats, how do you see that operation, the boats and the RVs, personal watercraft, how do you see that developing?
You know, potentially, I would have an employee to manage that. Initially, I think I'm just going to use my personal cell phone in the marketing of the boat storage, probably some flyers or postcards, and I'll attempt to approach the marinas, and I have some other acquaintances that are, you know, involved in chartering and things like that. But I'd probably just try to generate word of mouth. Also, some small, nothing self-illuminated, but I would like to do signage for both. I don't know if any of your images show the fence line that we constructed. It's a vinyl fence, and possibly just something along that fence that says something to the effect of boat storage with an arrow, mulch with an arrow. I kind of want to keep it separate from the land survey.
Would there be security fencing around the boat RV storage area to control access or keep any animals or any pedestrian movement from accessing except through a secured gate?
Well, it initially, no, but it is in the plans. I'd like to possibly do it incrementally as, you know, I get some boats on site to continually to reinvest in the business and to improve it with additional lighting and the fencing. I think the fact my home is there fronting on the storage would kind of help with the security issues, and there is a existing surveying office in the front, so it's fit in between the two, which should help. But I'd like to do it incrementally with the fencing, if possible.
One of the things I believe that the commission has imposed on conditional use is similar to this, is that there be no movement of the boats by the or personal watercraft RVs by the owners of those, except only by you or your designated agents. In other words, that kept somebody random, willy-nilly, from coming in and snatching their boat out at 5 a.m.
Right. I have considered that, and also even people leaving like a junker boat on site, which I wouldn't take any of those rundown boats. But I would like to write all that into a contractual agreement before anyone does leave. And that suggestion hadn't crossed my mind, but I would. That sounds like a great idea.
I'm just offering it, whether it's great idea or not. My memory says it's a condition that we put on some of these in the past. That and screening of the property. What days of the week would you anticipate the two operations to?
Well, I'd like to request permission to have the mulching operation 7 days a week. With the boat storage, I think that it would be more seasonal, and then I kind of would hate to be held to a specific day. If necessary, that wouldn't be a problem if there was a regulation with the boat storage only being in operation certain days, but I would assume in the fall or the late summer would be when most of the traffic took place, and then in the spring when people were kind of moving them out.
Mm-hmm. And the hours of operation?
For the mulch, I was probably thinking 9 to 5, just standard hours. For the boat storage, 9 to 5 also. That would be fine. I don't think that the times are really constricting for the boat storage. I could make arrangements to whatever was granted permission to do.
And you were saying the only sales would be related to the mulching landscape type material. No sales of boats, no servicing of boats, RVs, personal watercraft. And of these, because you're talking about doing this incrementally, what if we had to nail you down to what was your priority, what would you like to do first?
Well, I'd like to get boats in there in the fall and then hopefully build some resources to maybe put some type of a fence line up to some type of a buffer line kind of in between my house and the boat line. And then possibly use that money to reinvest in just improving the area for the mulch storage, possibly getting some of those concrete dividers you've seen at the typical landscape place where they keep different dyed colored mulches and separated. Mm-hmm. So boat storage in the fall and mulching next summer.
And the boat storage area, the terrain would be what? Crush and run, gravel, pea gravel?
I would rather try to just keep it what's existing now, not bring in a bunch of gravel. I'd like to just keep it mowed. I know that there's going to be a lot of weed eating around the boats potentially, but initially I'd like to, then again in the summertime most of the boats will be gone hopefully. So in the winter everything's pretty dead. I'd like to avoid bringing gravel for the boat storage, possibly some gravel for the mulching, for a path for people to pull in and back in the skid steer, loads them, and they take off.
Does the dyeing operation, and I apologize for sort of switching back and forth, but you got two sort of different things here. Does the dyeing operation require any storing of chemicals, powders, or liquids?
It does require some storage of the chemicals, but the specifics on that I haven't addressed this time. I need to look into that a little more. That was kind of down the road after some profitability had been made with the wholesaling of the mulch.
And one of your conditions mentions about water would be available to control dust. Mm-hmm. And is the dust from the grinding operation?
Correct, and just general traffic and moving mulch from here to there, dumping things.
Do you have an idea of what type of noise that grinding?
I don't know the exact decibel level of the grinder, but I don't think it would be any louder. I know it wouldn't be any louder than an 18-wheeler going by on the road, and with the forested buffers already existing, I think that, you know, no neighbor would hear anything that would be distracting, but I can find out the exact.
Would it be in a shed or?
The grinder? The processor?
Well, I see it says grinding and dyeing.
I should have probably used the word processing instead of grinding. But it would be out in the open. There's I can pass this around. This is kind of what the processor looks like. So it's about 35 feet long with a conveyor belt. And it would have to be out in the open.
Does that mulch and dye at the same time?
Yes.
Sorry, Rod.
No, that's good. And you see a need for this in this area?
Yeah, there's
for the mulch.
Everyone's yard needs mulch, and the area that I'm in is becoming more and more developed. Also, there's several landscapers in the area. The more that there's expansion out towards me west of Bethany Beach, the more opportunity there is to provide mulch for people.
And as far as the boat and RV storage?
And again, there are several people that pass on my road pulling their boats, and I feel that it's something that could be of service to people.
All right, sir. Thank you. That's all I have for present time.
All right, sir. Thank you. Mr. Ross?
The wood processor, what's it powered by? What, a diesel engine or a gas?
The specifics on that, I don't know. I just know a little bit about those. Again, I can find that out and get back to you, but I don't know off the top of my head whether it's gas or diesel.
Concerned about the noise level. Mm-hmm. You're processing your mulch areas, you know, roughly half an acre. Mm-hmm. And you put a 35 or so foot processor in, and that's going to consume quite a bit of space, and you have to get to it to feed material to it, and then it's got to be piled and stored. And then you've got the noise and all in a small area like that, and I'm a little bit concerned about how much noise might be generated. I know it's a rural area. We're millvilling it today, so
Mr. Ross, the brochure of a single page is called a Roto Chopper Incorporated. It's got 115 horsepower. It doesn't give a decibels as far as noise. It says it's a patented one-pass grind and color system, and a machine that that's compact enough to be pulled by a pickup truck. Transform low-volume wood chips into beautiful colored or natural landscape mulch in a single pass, but it doesn't give me anything on decibels. So the photograph. You
won't see it. I can't tell if it's a diesel or a gasoline engine.
No, it's 115 horsepower at all, I saw. And the weight's there, too.
The wood chips, Tim, is that are... Describe to me what a wood chip is. Do I grind up wood pallets, bring it to you? Is that a wood chip? Or is it something that comes out of a tree that forms and they grind the limbs off the trees they don't use for lumber? Or what is a wood chip?
Well, yeah, as far as policing what's been passed through that chipper, I mean, I can't say that I'll be doing a thorough inspection of it. I mean, if it's doesn't look like wood, then yeah, I would say, no, we're not going to turn this into mulch. But if it comes from a wooden pallet or an oak tree or a maple or, you know, what wood source, I don't know what source it is at all times.
If you're going to use pallets, you have to recognize there could be nails in those pallets. And you're going to have some difficulty with the machine if those nails aren't removed properly. Let's have a mechanism to be able to magnetically remove or some method of taking the nails out.
And I guess that's the crux of my question is if you might be getting stuff that you don't necessarily desire, and maybe we wouldn't necessarily desire either, you know, could be a plastic container thrown in there and things that who knows what was in the container. And that sort of stuff. And so processing, you know, trying to put something into conditional use that allows you to do what you want to do, but doesn't allow things to happen that are undesirable is the hard part. So that's my big concern. That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so Mr. Burton.
I kind of have a similar concern that Mr. Ross has, but explain to me how who comes to you? Is it a person that just cleaned out their backyard and it's loaded up with debris in the back of their pickup?
Or? It's potential that could be who it is. More than likely, I would think it would be a tree removal service, the tree trimming company. Those would be my target market. More so.
So they've already grinded it.
They've grinded it. They've stuck the limbs in through the chipper. They've got the big truck with all the little chips in it looking for a place to take it. And that's where I approach them and say I can take it.
Okay, so there will be a fair amount of big truck traffic running up and down this lane as opposed to pedestrian little truck traffic.
As far as big truck, I wouldn't think they'd be 18-wheelers, possibly like a box truck size. And the traffic, I mean, maximum maybe 10 a day, that would be a maximum, along with the people that are purchasing it.
And the people that are purchasing it, they would be in the littler trucks.
They would be in a pickup truck, yeah.
So they would come to you to do their yard, and you would put it in their pickup, and they would go home.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it mentions grinding in your thing. Are you going to be can they bring you stumps and you're going to be
No, absolutely not. And I don't want to get it confused with those large tub grinders or anything like that. This is what they call a single pass grinder. So it can't take any stump or anything like that. It has to be a wood chip that's already been essentially chipped up.
I got confused like Rodney on because the sign was right by a driveway that was all wooded.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and you're
right.
Telling me that's
not the entrance.
Not the
that's
entrance, correct. But it's just further.
It's further to the
Bethany?
North of that. The land surveying office. Did you see the Miller Lewis land surveying sign? That's the entrance.
That would be the entrance.
Past the garage there, and on back to the area that's open with trees on either side.
Okay, and then the land of of Russell Banks runs all the way around behind you?
No, actually, I own the parcel to the east on that drawing. He owns the land on the west, excuse me, to the north. The name, I didn't put my name on there, directly underneath the north arrow, that's the parcel that runs around to the back. Underneath the north arrow?
Yeah.
That parcel, lot 1, wraps around it.
And that's your...
That's my parcel, that's correct.
Right. So it goes behind the boat storage?
That's correct.
Okay. Okay. Are you planning any lighting on the boat storage?
Well, I do have some lighting for my residence, and incrementally I'd like to do lighting as is needed by potential customers or, you know, asked about. Again, I think that the main security would be provided because my residence is there overlooking the boats, essentially.
Okay. But you are planning a fence.
I am planning a fence incrementally,
yes. Part of it and then roll further back at you.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Are you planning on the boat storage where a guy would drop it off on a Monday and pick it up on a Tuesday, bring it back after he gets done fishing and bring it back? I mean, it would
be... No. It would be seasonal. There would be a seasonal rate, and I would be paid for the season.
It stays parked there?
It stays parked. That'll be part of the contractual agreement.
Okay. No further questions.
Richard? Mr. Lang?
One question. You make reference when you first started it being wholesale. Are you going to be buying it in bulk at the start and then proceed with your processing later, or it's going to all start about the same time?
No, processing would be later with some success having taken place for the wholesale.
So you would buy, say, a couple of truckloads of mulch, natural or already colored
variety,
sell it, and then later on proceed to take wood chips and buy them and process them so you could sell that for yourself.
That's correct.
That's all.
What you thinking, Councilor?
No questions, but more of a request that you all defer action on this one. I have some real concerns about the notice requirements. The county's been through some court cases on that very issue, so I want to find out some more, and we'll look into it and put it back on agenda for old business and see what we're going to do at that point.
I appreciate that comment. We will continue and conclude our public hearing, but...
I have one last question. Regarding this picture, since I buy the sign, my only experience really with the site was turned around earlier today. This appears to be a residence back here. Is that the residence that's on the approved GRRPC that would be to the south of your property? Do you know, Mr. Lang, the picture with the lowboy trailer and the bobcat?
That residence that you're looking at as far as on this site plan is to the east of the RV boat storage area. That's my personal residence.
Of this one here?
That one that you're pointing at. Okay. And that garage is the one that's labeled existing pole building on the site plan.
Okay. Yeah, I'll go back out there and look. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. We'll take a seat nearby. We'll see if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 1896, Timothy S. Miller? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 1896? Yes, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Terry Sutton, and I'm against the conditional use for the following reasons. I own the farm that backs up this proposed conditional use, and I have it under contract to DDDJ, and it's going to be developed as an upscale housing subdivision. This conditional use would have a negative impact on the housing values in this development. There is no other business in the area. This area is farmland and houses. This use is too broad. The combination of trailers, boat storage, and mulch is very diverse in operation. I researched the boat storage places in the area, and there are 8. I'm not sure there is another need. This is not the place for this type of conditional use. My property value will go down dramatically if this is approved. As everyone here is aware, it is hard enough to sell a lot in a subdivision. My subdivision's strength is its country appeal, and it is close to towns like Bethany, Fenwick, and Ocean City. This conditional use would be a drawback to future buyers. Thank you very much for listening, and I appreciate you taking the time to go down and review this site.
A couple questions for you. Do you have an approved site plan for this subdivision that you're referring to?
One of the gentlemen is here. He's going to talk about that. I own the farm.
I understand, but my question is, is there an approved site plan for this? You're referring to a subdivision.
It's called the Lakelands,
mm-hmm.
And I have in my house, I have a picture of what the Lakelands look like, and I know that my property taxes have gone up drastically since we changed the pre-zoning. So I would assume Mr. Jack Stanton is going to talk about that.
Okay.
I'm talking about this as landowner.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Yes, sir.
My name is Jack Stanton. I live at, I can think of it, it's a new 911, 326771 something, Cedar Drive in Millville. And I'm in opposition because I'm under contract. We're under contract with her. There were two parcels to the farm. We settled on one parcel of 10 acres and a house. And we're now waiting to finish up the other parcel, the other 60 acres, to put in 265 units. And normally I would have a site plan with me. We got it converted to an RPC, and there will be central sewer, there will be central water. We're in agreement, have an agreement with Mike Gizzo in the county. We have to do so much. We got to put in a pumping station enough to satisfy 1,700 other people in the area of the north, so that they can, they'll have sewer in the future. Now, I may be at the home when all that's done, but that's part of the agreement that we have. Now, I hate putting a damper. Excuse me. When this young man was, isn't it many years ago? 50 years ago, I was here, just like he is. And some jerk like me stopped me. So it's awfully hard, I'm sorry. But I would like to say, if I could say it as eloquently as Mr. Smith said it about that fellow named Juan,
mm-hmm.
Is that it, when you first said that? Those are my sentiments, his exact sentiments. You remember that?
On the motion that was read at the beginning of the agenda?
Yeah, okay.
So do you have any questions?
My question mainly was just to get it on the record that the whether or not there was an approved subdivision plan.
We got approved
in place, which
we're still. Let me,
Mr. Lank, you want to straighten you look like
an approved RPC.
RPC.
The site plan has not yet been approved.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we've had the
zoning
change.
Is in place.
We've had
the zoning's been changed,
but the site plan has not been approved. Okay.
All right. We're still doing some.
Okay. I understand. Yeah. Good. I was just trying to make sure we had on the record where you were in the process. That's all we need. So, all right, sir. Thank you very much. Anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone else on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us for the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. However, I think our council has already advised us that we're going to be deferring action on that application. So, but you're welcome to stay. Our next public hearing is conditional use.